Well, we're into a new series, and actually we sort of started on it sort of very natural progression, so you may not have noticed it, but we're into a new series on God's love. And today we're going to talk about God's love language. And I think it was Thursday night we talked, there was someone, I think it might have been you, Hayley, you were looking for who's got your copy of the five love languages. Yeah, I think it was. It just, you know, it came up in discussion. Who's got my copy of that book? It's a book written by a guy called Gary Smalley, I think his name is, Gary Smalley. And Gary Smalley talks about, it's probably better to say it Smalley rather than Smalley, but it's Smalley, I think. And he's written his book on the five love languages, and it's very much how we relate to one another. And of course, you know, we've read that book ourselves in our early part of our marriage, and discovered that there's love languages. You know, we respond in certain ways. You know, some people have got the love language of gifts. If you're going to show them love, you have to give them a gift. And it's just how they respond. And of course, other people, their language is service. If you're going to show them love, you have to show them service. You serve them in some way, and you know, they tend to like that. Others, they like contact. They like to be touched, and it's very much their love language. And what we find about it is the way that the love language works, and it is that the way that we like to be loved is the way that we'll love others. What was my saying to the Lord when I first said to him on the night that I was born again, what did I promise him? That I would serve him all the days of my life. Amen. And you know, that's a little indicator there. I wanted to express my love to God, so I said, I'll serve you. You see, so service is my love language. And of course, Rosemary does very much try to fulfill that, and in our marriage, she's very much a blessing to me in that area, and serves me at different times. And I don't say that in a demeaning way that you should serve me, but that's how she blesses me. She does things for me, and it just blesses me. And of course, Rosemary's love language, I don't mind saying it, is gifts. So, and of course, she's one of the hardest people to buy a gift for, because she's so good at gift giving, you see. So it's one of those interesting things. But we're on to a series on God's love, and we're going to see that God's love has many dimensions, and we need to learn those and lean on them as well. And of course, love like he loves. And we started out in this series by seeing that we cannot show our love for God except by keeping his word. And this is very much as what brought us into this series, letting his word dwell in us richly. Having our minds renewed to the word of God is very much something that God calls us all to. Not just people that are going to get around the pulpit and stand at the front with the microphone. We're all called to be a people who let the word of God dwell in us richly. In other words, we need to have many deposits of the word of God into our lives. And having our minds renewed to God, to God's word. And of course, God has always determined to work with word keepers. And I was sharing on Thursday, I think I shared it on Thursday night, how that I was, the previous Thursday we had some a missions team come through, and we were praying, and of course there was some prophecy that came through in the prayer, and they had said that don't be surprised when you go down this weekend that you'll bring something of the Spirit of the Lord that's upon this house. Don't be surprised if you take it, some of that, down to Broome. And of course, I got an opportunity to be up there in front of the congregation and share a few revelations that we've been getting here. And of course, I've been sharing, and I thought it was funny, because one of them was actually then taken up and put on a meme on their Facebook website with Pastor Margaret's name under it. And I thought, the cheeky things are pinching my revelations. It was quite funny, and of course we joked about it and said, you know, that's I think Liz calmed me down by saying it's an absolute compliment to you, Pastor Peter. And I said, yes, I agree. But funny as it is, you know, there was another one that I think Pastor Rob must have put it up there, and it was the Promise Keeper. No, the Waymaker is looking for a Word Keeper. And we were saying that 2 weeks ago, that's now up there, and they put my name on it. Thank you, Lord. A little bit of credit where credit's due. But you know, we know that it's God that gives those revelations, that helps us to understand, that joins truths together. He joins the dots, isn't that right? And we need to recognize that. That the way maker, the promise keeper that we sing about, is looking for word keepers. People that'll keep his word. And that's how we show our love to God. And that's really the truth that we've been on. It's always been the Lord's method. In 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9, it says this: "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth." What for? "To show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him." Whose heart is loyal to him. And God wants to show himself strong on our behalf. Over in Numbers chapter 14, we see the same pattern. Moses has just interceded on behalf of the people who have now disobeyed God's word 10 times. And Moses is interceding when God's saying, because God's saying, you know what? They've now disobeyed me 10 times. You know what? I'm going to wipe them out and I'm going to start all over again with you, Moses. And of course, it's like, uh-oh. And Moses, with the heart that he had, he intercedes on behalf of the people. And we see that. And God grants a reprieve on starting over in his redemptive plan for mankind with Moses. But this generation are not going to receive the promise. This generation that had received a promise from God were not going to receive the promised land. As a generation, are going to go off into the wilderness. They're going to die over the next 40 years and not go into the promised land. But the Lord singles out Caleb and Joshua. Now, remember, Caleb and Joshua were two of the 12 spies who went into the promised land to go and see which is the way to go in. Not to go in and see whether they should or not, because it's a promise of God for them that that's their land. They just had to find out which way to go in. But they came back with a bad report, except for Caleb and Joshua. And let's look at what the Lord says. And of course, in Numbers chapter 14, it says in verse 20, it says, "And I have pardoned them." This is God speaking to Moses. "I have pardoned them as you requested." And the Lord replied, "Yet as surely as I live, and as surely as the whole earth is filled with the glory of the Lord, not one of the men who have seen my glory and the signs I performed in Egypt and in the wilderness, yet have tested me and disobeyed me. These 10 times, not one will ever see the land that I swore to give their fathers. None of those who have treated me with contempt will see it. But because my servant Caleb has a different spirit and has followed me wholeheartedly, I will bring him into the land he has entered, and his descendants will inherit it." So God's holding true to his word. He's a promise keeper that's looking for a what? Word keeper. And he's, you know, and Caleb had a heart of faith. You've got to understand that about Caleb. He understood Abrahamic faith. He understood the story. He was fully persuaded that what God had promised, God was able to perform. We read about that in Romans chapter 4. We understand that. You know, the 10 spies were seeing the impossibility. They were seeing the walled cities. They were seeing, now this isn't going to change. This is stuck. We're stuck. This is, you know, we couldn't possibly go in there. They're seeing the giants in the land and saying, we're no match for those giants. And they were in the land looking at the land, you know, Joshua and Caleb, they go in there and, of course, they're not looking at those things. They're pegging out the land, you know. This is going to be my block right here. I'm going to have this bit. They're not looking at the walled cities. They're not looking at the giants. They're looking at what God had promised. Amen. That's all of us. We should all be thinking and looking that way. You know, when others are speaking doubt and unbelief, they were in their faith, seeing what God was saying. And believing what God was saying. And 40 years later, Caleb makes his claim. I love this part. Caleb makes his claim when the promised land is now being divided among the tribes of Israel by Joshua. He's now the leader. In wanders 85-year-old Caleb. Okay? And we'll pick that up there in verse 14. It says, "And then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, you know, the Kenizzite, said to him, 'You know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him back word to him as it was in my heart.'" Where is faith? In the heart. as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And so Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever. Why? Because you have wholly followed the Lord your God. You know, that's love. When we follow, that's his love language, is when we follow his word and we give our heart to it. And we'll read on. It says in Joshua 14, verse 10 to 12, it says, and now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now here I am this day, 85 years old. And yet I am as strong this day as I was on that day and Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and coming in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day. For you heard in that day how the Anakim, that's giants, were there, and that the cities were great and fortified. And it may be, look, his faith hasn't changed. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord has said. In other words, he's saying, give me the mountain with the giants on it. That's my land. You know, don't be afraid of opposition. Don't be afraid of those things that look like they're impossible, because he that's with us is greater. Amen? He that's on our side is greater than what the enemy could possibly ever throw up. And Caleb inherited the promise by following God's word wholeheartedly. Amen? I cannot begin to understand how a Christian can live the Christian life properly without having a deep, heartfelt connection to God's word, because that's where our faith springs from. Being able to say, you know what, I'm fully persuaded that what God has said, he's able to perform. That's what we're called to. That's that lifestyle, that assurance that we're called to. And that's an important point, because when Jesus was asked which commandment was most important, look what he said in Matthew chapter 22. It says in verse 35, one of them, an expert in the law, tested him with a question. Don't you love to be tested? But here he is, he's questioning Jesus, and he says, teacher, which commandment is greatest in the law? And Jesus declared and said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and all the prophets hang on these two commandments. And the last 2 weeks, we've been seeing how we love God, the way we love God, how we love God, is through keeping his word in our hearts. That's his love language. That's his love language, actually, to be doers of his word and to be obedient to his word and to be a people of faith. This is our Heavenly Father's language. I always thought it was time spent. That's how I always thought that was God's love language. You know, he likes us to spend time with him in prayer. But actually, it's keeping his word. And keeping his word in our hearts, keeping it tucked there in our hearts. Look at Psalm 119, verse 11. The psalmist knew. He says, your word have I hidden in my heart that I may not sin against you. You know, that's that deep desire for relationship being expressed in Psalm 119. This is why the immediate need for new Christians, and just be aware of this, the immediate need for new Christians is to make sure that they're receiving the word of God. You know, 1 Peter 2 talks about, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word. Why? So that we might grow. That's that, you know, growing up spiritually, understanding spiritual truth. And I like John chapter 14. We have seen this as a bit of a key scripture in this series so far already. But John 14 and verse 19 to 21, here's Jesus talking. He says, a little while longer and the world will see me no more. This is while he was with them. But you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. At that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. That's that deep, abiding presence of the Lord that we love so much. And he says, and he who has my commandments and keeps them is he. It is he who what? Loves me. How do we show our love to God? We keep his word. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. At this point, Judas, not Iscariot, but Judas, actually the author of the book of Jude, and brother by birth to Jesus as well, asking a clarifying question. He says, how will we know your presence and the world will not know it? And look what he says in verse 23. And Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? And Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my what? Words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. I tell you, we need to have a loving relationship with the Word of God. We need to see that we have need to have that deep commitment to the Word of God. It's so very important. And I know that Judas kept that word and even repeated it in his own book in the Bible when he encouraged God's people to pray in the Spirit, our heavenly language, and to keep yourself in the Word of God. Look where he says it in his own book in Jude verse 20 and verse 21. It says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Look what he says. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Something that you do. And of course, it's through your relationship with the Word of God, through your time spent, you know, reading the Scriptures, reading the New Testament. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Great word. You know, how do we keep ourselves in the love of God? We keep ourselves in the Word of God. And it's just that simple. You know, and Paul the Apostle prays for the church at Ephesus. And I love this passage, and I believe it's a good prayer for us all to pray over our own lives and even personalize it. It's from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 19. It says this, for this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to his riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Look what it says, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the dimensions, the width, the length, the depth, and the height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. And what does it look like? Well, it looks like us recognizing that God loves us, that we love God through our relationship with the Word of God, and we start not just being hearers, but start being doers. Start putting it into practice in our lives. Start looking for the Scriptures that actually deal with areas of our life and start making an application of them. I think I was talking to someone earlier this week, I think, how that, you know, that time and moment in my Christian life when I began to understand that that was essential, that that was an essential thing to do. I sat down and I actually took the time to study the Word of God and find promises that captured different areas of my life. You know, my marriage, I hadn't even met Rosemary yet. I had Scriptures that were promises from God concerning my marriage. And I started to write them down and turn them into a prayer that I could pray. And I had a Scripture for work, and I had another one that I'd found that related to business, and another one that related to church and my work in church and my calling. And I turned them into personalized prayers and began to pray them out over my life every day, you know. And you know, it was just such a turning point in my Christian life. It's like the Spirit of God just came so alive to me. And how precious it was, because God was actually setting me on his pathway for my life. See, we can have our own pathway, and the reason we can is because in his infinite wisdom, he gave us free will. So we can always choose. We can always choose to not do the word or do the word. But we know from Scripture that it's not just the hearers of the word that are blessed, it's the doers, the people that put it into practice. And it's an amazing thing is that you present as a believer and a Christian who's actually going to do the word, watch out. Things are going to shift. Things are going to change. God's going to start opening up pathways for you to get through to a place where you can continue to glorify the Lord talk about what he's done in your life and minister that to others. Rosemary, you were talking about that dear lady. I keep getting it on my heart, that dear lady that you prayed for this week. Would you mind just coming and just sharing about that dear lady? Just reaching out to others with the love of God is very, really, really simple, and just being obedient to the Lord.
Oh, just a little testimony. I sell a little bit of stuff on Buy, Swap and Sell, as you all know. it's a business. So I posted this cup, and sure enough, a lady in the community in Broome, "Yes, please," she said. But would you mind delivering it? Because I'm not driving at the moment. I'm not getting out of the house. I'm not feeling well. So I thought, oh, no problem at all. I'll deliver it. So off I drove with a little cup to Ann Street, and I get there, and she's waiting for me. So basically I pull up in her driveway, and she's got this great big fence, like with a padlock. But it's one of those iron, kind of like a gate. I could put the cup through the holes, but I couldn't fit anything else much. So she came out, she didn't unlock the gate, and we communicated through just without her opening. And so she bought the cup, and I just happened to ask, "So are you not well?" And she said, "No, I'm not well. I have this continuous noise in my head and in my ears, and it's not tinnitus. It's not tinnitus, you know. It's something, and even that car driving down, any noise just irritates me, and I just can't think, and it's there all the time, 24 hours a day. I can't go out." And as she's telling me the story, I felt the Lord say, "Pray for her, you know, lay hands on her." But this gate was there with this big padlock. I could fit the cup, but I couldn't fit my hands. And what I really wanted to do was grab her head and just, you know, lay hands on her. And the Lord's prompting me, "Pray for her, pray for her." But the gate was my obstacle, so I didn't. And I drove off. And when I drove off, I was so grieved in my heart. I was grieved in my heart because I wasn't obedient. I let the gate get in the way. I had all the excuses under the sun of why I didn't. But I was grieved. So I said, "Lord, I'm so sorry that I wasn't bold enough to tell her to unlock the gate, or I wasn't, you know, please give me another opportunity to pray for her." And so sure enough, 2 or 3 weeks later, I post another item, and she says, "Yes, please." "So would you like me to drop it off?" "Yes, please." So this week, I pull up to her gate. The gate's still locked. Her car's there. And she doesn't come out. And I toot, and then I try and ring her. And when I rang her, she says, "Oh, I'm just in town. I can come home right now." And I said, "Well, just while you're coming home, I'll pop into Vinny's while I wait for you. I'll pop into the op shop and meet you at your house." I get to Vinny's, and she's there waiting for me. All right, no gate. She's there waiting for me, and I said, "I've got the cup in the car. Come out." So I go out to my car, and there's like a brick, I'm parked here, and there's like a brick wall full of people just sitting there with babies waiting for taxis. And then there's my car, my door, the cup, and her. So I get the cup out, and we start making small talk. And then, of course, I asked her, "How are you feeling now?" And she said, "I've still got it. It's not in my ears. It's in my brain. I've got to go down to Perth and have an operation. It's neurological. It's bad." So I said to her, "No gate, no blockages. Ask for a second chance. Can I pray for you, please?" And she sort of looked at me, and then she said, "Yes, please." So I said, "Take off your hat." So she took off her hat, and I did what I wanted to do the first time. I grabbed her head, both ears, her head, and, You know how when you pray for people, you don't really know what to pray, but the Lord shows you the words, what to take authority over, what to command healing in the neurological pathways and blah, blah. 5-minute prayer, nice and loud. The people watching, all smiling, you know, behind, you know, they're just witnessing. So anyway, I think she had her eyes shut. I had my eyes shut when I was laying hands on her and commanding and rebuking and speaking and declaring, you know, the whole works. When I opened my eyes, she sort of looked at me and she had this beautiful smile on her face, you know, like she was just like, and the people behind her were smiling, and she put her hat back on. And then I said to her, so how are you feeling? She goes, yeah, good. And then I could tell she wanted to ask me about God or church and that. And I said, well, we passed a Victory Life broom. And, oh, she said, yeah, oh, right, okay. And then we make more small talk. And in a nutshell, she's been in Broome forever. She raised her 4 kids here. Beautiful woman with this condition. Received prayer. Looked 10 years younger after it and just sort of like processing what had gone on. And so we spent the next 10 or 15 minutes talking, made small talks, and then she said, I'll look into it. You know, I'll look into it. And I said to her, today, when you go home and if you feel anything coming back on, you say, I'm healed in Jesus' name. I'm healed in Jesus' name. I just told her what to say. You've got to understand, she's probably never heard of anything like that, never had anybody lay hands on her, grab her head outside Vinnie's, you know, with an audience in that. But what I'm saying is the church is getting bolder. We need to be bold. We need not to be afraid or embarrassed about who's watching, because it's all connected, all the little dots all joined together. God gave me a second chance to pray with her, even though I messed up the first time. So it was so exciting. Well, I posted another item. And she said, yes, please, can I collect it on Monday? So I'm seeing her again. There's, you know, more and more and more. He had his hands on her way before I prayed for her. He had her in mind. He loves her. He wants her healed. He doesn't want her to go down to Perth and have her brain opened and the neurological whatever to stop this. He can do it. He can heal her. So that was... yeah, it was a great testimony. And just to encourage you for yourselves, you know, like throughout the week, wherever you, if you get an opportunity, and I know that God prompts your heart to do it, but sometimes we resist and sometimes we just, no. But do it. Do it, do it, do it. You've got nothing to lose. Your reputation's already gone. You know what I mean? So you got but so much to gain. So much to gain. And it's so exciting. So, yeah.
That's Rosemary. I tell you, I'm still catching up with some of the things she does when she's out and about in town, you know. And I'm surprised when I hear some of the stuff as well, so... So praise the Lord. But we all ought to recognise that we're called to boldness. You know, the Bible talks about the early church, that great boldness was upon the early church. They weren't concerned, you know, and, you know, reputation. But, you know, love is something that we should be rooted and grounded in. You can sort of see it from the passage there. It's a place that we should all be planted in God's love. And love needs to be the motivating emotion. Isn't it right? When we relate to others, you know, when we get around others, it's the love of God, that desire to see the Word working in their lives as well. And and of course, for them to experience a love like we have. And it's so very important that we be about that. See, love's the starting point for the fullness of God. Look what it says, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. So, you know, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with the fullness of God. There's that connection between love, God's love, and the fullness of God. And, you know, we're going to continue in this series and look at the different dimensions. There's so many different dimensions, you know. I mean, you can, just a little snippet is that God's love always reaches us where we are. You know, you might think that God couldn't possibly love me the way I am. You know, and people do. I know that sometimes we think that people need to clean up their act before they come to church. I'm going, no. Get them into church. Because God wants to clean up their act. And he'll do it bit by bit. He'll do it in his own time and in his own season. Sometimes we think people aren't good enough to be in church. What a lot of rubbish. You know, God wants to reach their hearts. God wants to do the work. He wants the glory for doing that work. And we need to, you know, recognize that there's, you know, God demonstrates his love to us. It says in Romans chapter 4:5 and verse 8, God demonstrates his love to us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. That's it. See, he loves us where we are. He loves us right where we are. And, you know, and I want to make an invitation as we close this morning that if you're not sure that God loves you where you are, I'd love to be able to pray a little prayer that just sort of starts things off for you individually, personally. It's a simple prayer. We call it the prayer of salvation. It's a prayer where we actually invite him to come into our lives and to make himself real. And he will. He will do it. The Bible says we believe in our heart and we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe that God raised him from the dead. The Bible says, you know, that we will be saved. And that's that bit that we talked about earlier about being made every bit whole. And it's a process. And it's through the Word and also through his Spirit. But he'll make us whole. He'll save us. And we all needed that, didn't we? Amen? Amen. Well, I'm going to ask the worship team to come. We're going to go out with a prayer. But why don't we all just stand, and we're just going to pray a prayer, and then we're going to finish this morning. Just so you know, also, please, if you're visiting with us this morning, don't feel you need to rush off. We've got morning tea coming, and we really encourage you to stop around, stay around, have a cuppa and a little bit of morning tea with us. Love to get to be able to chat with you. So, praise the Lord. We thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord, for your word today, Lord God. We thank you, Lord, that it finds a place in our hearts, Lord God. It's designed to be in our hearts, Father. And Lord, we thank you for the truth of your word today, Lord God. That it, Lord, it is indeed, Father God, a lamp unto our feet and a guide unto our path. Lord, we ask, Father, that as we go out from here today, Lord God, that your blessing would be upon our lives and that, Lord, we be a people that walk in your way, walk in your word and see the fruit of it. And Lord, we thank you for opportunities this week to reach out, share the word with others, Lord, and let them know the love that you've loved us with in Jesus' precious name. And everybody said amen. Amen.